Good morning. Don't you like seeing all those kids? Oh, hallelujah. What a blessing. That's what we want. Amen. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for you. Each and every one of you is here this morning. I'm so glad to see your face. It just makes everything like it's supposed to be when we get to come together. Amen. If you would open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. All week you pray and the Lord talks to you and gives you different thoughts and you work on different things. But this morning the Lord woke me up at 3:57, and this is right straight from what I feel like the Spirit of God spoke to me. And this is something I want us just to listen with all of our heart very keenly. This is a warning from the Lord for us to just draw closer to Him and to yield to Him in different areas and to make sure that we're not allowing anything to come in between us and Him, because the enemy's very good. He loves to work in a very covert way to get things in between us and the Lord, because you and I, in these last days, we know what the Word says. The Word tells us in Matthew chapter 24, down about verse 12, that the love of many is going to wax cold. And it talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, down about verses 3 and 4, that's going to cause a falling away. In other words, there's things that's going to happen to get into people's lives. And it's talking to church people. It's talking to Christians. And so as you and I look, there's a lot of things going on in the world today that the enemy would love to utilize to get in your heart and my heart to separate us, because the way we grow little by little. God just works in our lives little by little, step by step, and He fills us up with each step. And so when we step back just one step away from what God would have us to do, we don't really understand the depth of what we're doing. And so we got to be very cautious. We're saved by grace, and that grace is sufficient, but we can also, the Bible warns us not to tread on that grace. And so this morning I want you not to listen to what I say, but you listen to the Holy Spirit, because God is going, He's wanting to deal with some issues in your life, in my life. And you say, well, this had, when I get through here, this had nothing to do with me. Sometimes the messages are general and it goes to the whole body. Sometimes they're very specific. And so I encourage you to listen with sincerity of heart and singleness of mind this morning. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. For sake of time, let's start reading at verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 35, the Word of God says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just," say that's me.
That's me.
"Now the just shall live by faith. But if any person draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him," in them. Verse 39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness. Lord, we ask You this morning that You help each one of us just step out of the way, out of ourselves, and help us by the anointing of the Spirit of God to hear what thus saith the Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, by the Spirit, through Jesus the Word, would say to us. Lord, I ask that You reveal to us any areas of our life that we might be hindering Your will, Your plan, that we might be stepping back from what You have told us, what You are drawing us into. Help us to be in a place and a position where every enemy of our soul, our body, our spirit is bound in the name of Jesus. And help us have liberty in the Holy Spirit to hear and to act upon what You would say to us this morning. We ask this, Father, In the name of Jesus. And we all say, amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Like Brother Dennis was teaching us this morning, you know, we've got a Heavenly Father who loves us, and He placed parents in our lives, and you and I, we're a product of what has happened to us from the moment of conception until now. You and I, we didn't become what we are overnight. Now, salvation comes instantaneously. That's true when you and I believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. But even at salvation, there's a lot of things that has to take place in our lives that helps us to become the Christian and become the part and the placement within the body of Christ that the Lord wants us to be. And so this morning we need to be in a place where we understand that in every area of our life that you and I are in step with the Lord. Because there's no doubt that the signs of His returning is being put before our eyes continually. We cannot listen to the news or television. We cannot open the Bible without recognizing and realizing that things are being fulfilled at a very rapid pace. And so we want to be in a place and a position where we've done all in the time allotted that we could do for the Lord. But also we want to recognize and realize that the devil, he is after your spirit. He wants to take you to where he's going. And if he can't take you there, he wants to hinder you to so much to the point where you're no good to what God's plan is. But you are good because Jesus, by God, has made you. Amen? You're of God and God is good. And so we're going to listen to the Lord and we're going to let the Lord help us. Now this morning, we've got to recognize that we are in a flesh body. And just because we get saved doesn't mean that we get victory over all the things that used to hinder us and hurt us. It just means that you and I have got forgiven for those things, but we got to be in a place and a position where we allow God by His Spirit through the Word to wash us and to cleanse us and to help us step up over some things. Those things that the devil wants to stumble you and I by, we're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to yield to the Lord and He's going to grab us by the hand and He's going to help us. Now this morning, the greatest thing in the world you and I can do is when we be honest with God and we tell God, I've got something in my life. I've got issues in my life. But I know that you're the one who came to help me overcome all of those things. Amen? Now let's look at some things here in the time that we've got allotted. Verse 35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great reward. The devil cannot stand that you've got faith this morning. The devil can't stand it. And so he wants to do anything possible to hinder your walk in your faith. Because you see, faith is the saving of your spirit. It's the faith of God is what brings the plan and the will of God in and through your life this morning. And we got to be in a place and position where we understand, like we, in a moment of time, we'll get down to it, that we have to live by faith. In other words, there's a lot of things that you and I don't understand, but we can't cast off our confidence. This word cast off, it's used in another place to help us to understand it. You remember when Bartimaeus comes running to Jesus, and that's before he is healed, and he casts off his begging garment. And when he cast off that begging garment, he was telling Jesus his confidence was not in what he could get from man any longer, but his confidence was in the fact that he knew that Jesus was his answer. And this is what this is talking about. You and I, we've cast off our hope in man and we put on the robes of righteousness, the blood of Jesus Christ, that robe that He bought and paid for. We put it on and we've got to keep it on. Amen? And the devil is going to present things in your life and my life that's tempting to the mind, that's tempting to the flesh, that would try to cause us to cast off that robe. Come on, to put it aside. But God wants me to tell you this morning, He says, I see everything. I know every thought, every intent of the heart. But He's saying that because He's wanting to help us. And He's wanting to pull us unto Him. And He's wanting to encourage us. He said, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. You and I, in other words, you need cheerful endurance. That's what it's saying in the Greek. I've got to have joy. You've got to have joy to be able to live out our salvation. And the devil is going to try to do anything and everything he can to take that away from you and I. But you and I have got to be in a place, in a position where we let God be our joy. It's not about what we have or what we don't have. Not about what we're getting to do or not getting to do. Not about who we're associating with or who we're not associating with. It's about the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, shed His very sinless blood for you, for me. Amen? And we accepted that. We accepted that. So the Bible says that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, out of the mouth of Jesus, He said it's not because somebody says, "Lord, Lord," that's going to heaven. It's because those who do My will. Well, the will is that you've got to hang on this morning. I've got to hang on. Cheerful endurance. The devil's going to come against you and try to get you to give up on everything that you've trusted in. Try to cause you to be tilted off course. But you and I, we've got to hold strong to the course. He said in verse 37, "For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Jesus is coming. He's coming literally at that last trump. The Bible tells us that. But not only that, He's coming in your trial. He's coming in your trouble. He's coming in your heartache. He's coming in the fire that the devil's placing in your life right now to discourage you, to pull you away from the warmth of God's fire, to cause you to be in a place where you can't see because of the smoke. But God wants you to know that Jesus is coming. And this morning, whatever you need, whatever help you need, the Bible says, in your most dire need of help, that time, my most dire need, that Jesus is there. He's out of the mouth of Jesus, Matthew 28, in this same book of Hebrews chapter 13, it says that Jesus said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." So He's coming. So what I want you to do this morning, I want you to be encouraged, and whatever situation that you might be dealing with, whatever thing the Lord might be talking to you about, whatever thing the devil may be tempting you with, let Jesus come. Let Jesus come. Look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith, amen, to help you. Now He says in verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man, any person draw back," God says, "My soul shall have no pleasure in them." Now this draw back, it's where we get our English word backslide. See, we look at this term backslide as somebody who used to come to church and they don't go to church no more. But if God tells me to do something right now and I don't do it, that's the same thing. This is, we've got to get this in our heart how serious this is. This is, God is a God that is moment by moment wanting to talk to you, wanting to talk to me. And so we've got to get this term about this, how that I'm not backslidden if I'm still going to church. I'm not backslidden if I'm still giving in the offering. I'm not backslidden if I say grace over my meals. I can be backslidden. Your preacher can be backslidden. If God tells me to do something right this moment, I don't do it because I draw back. The word means, it means to shrink down. It means to do what I want to do rather than what God wants me to do. This is a nautical term. It's a term that they would use of pulling the sail in on a ship. Come on, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He's the one that's sailing our ship. And the higher that we get the flag, come on, the more pull we're going to get on that sail. Come on the flag of the Lord. Come on, it's the banner of the Lord. Amen, our salvation. But it's the very sail of our ship. And the higher we get it, the better. The more quicker, the more swift, the easier it's going to be on you and I as we go through this water of life. Amen? He said, if any man, see, God's no respecter of persons. He'll save anybody, but also He will judge anybody. Now, I want you to think about that. The Bible says in Revelation 4:11 that you, that I, we were created for God's pleasure. But God said, if you're not doing what I tell you to do, moment by moment, I'm not having pleasure in you. Now, once again, I don't want you to get mad at me, but this is a warning. This is a warning sermon, amen? This comes from the Lord. I had to put my other thing in the back of the Bible and use it some other time. Because God wants to deal with some things. And it's not about anybody else but you and the Lord, me and the Lord. God's talking to us. And He wants to encourage us, and He wants to help us to move forward. He said, verse 39, "But we're not of them which draw back unto perdition." Now, when He said we're not of them, that means that there's some. He's writing to the Hebrews here, but it's the Hebrew church. He's writing to the church. So He's saying there's going to be some in the church who draw back, and they draw all the way back to perdition. It means to perish. Come on, it's the name of Satan himself. But you and I, we don't have Satan's name no more. We have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going under the banner of Christos, Christian, because we have the anointing of the Lord on our lives, and we're going to keep it. Amen? But the way we keep it is we've got to walk in obedience. He said, now there's going to be some that would draw back unto perdition. He said, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, there's a battle going on in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. There's a battle going on in my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions. There's a battle there. But God said, I'm going to save it. I'm going to take care of it if you'll do it my way. Amen?
Amen.
And so I want you to look at this and go with me to the book of Exodus and let's learn from the Old Testament how you and I move forward in our ability of growing closer to the Lord. Exodus chapter 23. Now in this 23rd chapter, it has all sorts of information. But I want you to just to notice, I just want to preface this. Look at verse 20 where God says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." If you notice, angel's capital, we're talking about Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. Amen. He said, "Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries." Now I want you to claim that promise this morning, because there's an enemy that's coming after you, after your soul, after me, after my soul. Amen? But God said, "I want to fight your battles."
Yes.
And with obedience, He said, "I can do that." But now look here, as they're going into the promised land, drop down for a second time. Look at verse 30. Exodus 23:30. Now, you say, what's that got to do with me? This is a type of you and I coming into the promises of God. Coming into everyday salvation. Everyday walking in victory. Now look what He said. He said, God, out of God's mouth, He said, by little, I will drive them out, the enemy, out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. Now He's talking to His children there, and they're going into a hostile territory, but they're going into God's promises. Today, you and I, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. This is a hostile territory to the Christian. The world hates you. Come on, they're devising all sorts of plans and laws and ways to come against you because you believe in the name of Jesus. And so you've got to be in a place, I've got to be in a place where we recognize I'm in hostile territory, but if God be for me, if God be for you, come on, can't nobody be against us, amen?
Amen?
But God says, little by little. So in your life, in my life this morning, as we walk step by step with the Lord, He said, little by little, I myself, God Himself, said He would drive the enemy out of your life. Now I want you to notice, God said, I don't want to do a one-time miracle. He said, I want to do it little by little. Meaning, I want to work with you second by second. God Almighty, through Jesus, by His Spirit, wants to fellowship with you and I so bad that He don't want to just zap and make everything perfect. He wants us to learn how to trust in Him in every area of our life. He wants us to get victory in every circumstance and situation, knowing and realizing that God looks at you, He looks at me, and He sees the mistakes, He sees even the sin, come on at times.
Right.
Yet He loves us, and He's got a plan to drive that enemy out of our life.
Yeah.
Now this morning, only you know the enemy that's working on you. But I know in my spirit, God said to me that there's some things this morning that you need, that I need to get from Him. Come on, to drive the enemy back. And so what we got to believe is, if I'll spend some time with Jesus, little by little, He said, little by little, I will drive them out from before thee. Now, mark this verse down for those who come to our Thursday night Bible study, because that has a lot to do with what we were talking about in Matthew chapter 12, verses 44 and 45 last Thursday night, when we were talking about when the house is emptied out, and then if it didn't fill back up, that's when we get in trouble. That's why God does things little by little. Because see, He drives one enemy out of your life, out of my life, and then we fill up with Him, His truth. And as we do that, then we are secure in who we are. Amen? In that area. Because He's the Lord of it. Now this morning, He wants to deal with something little by little. He wants to deal with something specific in your life, in my life, to make it better. And He wants you to know that He will do the driving. Come on, there's no other name, but other name of heaven that we were saved by besides Jesus. And there's no other greater name. Come on, there's no other name bigger than the name of Jesus. Amen? Everything's got to bow to the name of Jesus. So when you and I are in covenant with the Lord, you have a promise here. God's talking to us. He said, little by little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased in the land. Now this word increase means to bear fruit. You're a fruit bearer for the Lord. You can't help but bear fruit. Now hold your place right here and we'll come back. Let's go to John chapter 15, very familiar verse of Scripture. And let's see what Jesus said, how that fruit comes forth. Because see, the devil doesn't want you to bear lasting fruit, but you can, and you will. John 15, look here, Jesus said, verse number 1, I am the true vine. That means there's a false one, amen? I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth. He cleanseth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. How does He do it? Now you are clean, you are purged, you are pruned through the Word which I have spoken unto you. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Little by little. Little by little. The Word of God. In other words, see, God spoke the Word to him here and He's telling them, you're going in to hostile territory. But He said, I'm going to be with you. Because remember, He led them by the pillar of fire and by the cloud. And He was with them. And Moses was His spokesperson, the type of Christ, speaking to them. And as He done that, they heard what they needed to hear and they moved when they needed to move. God's wanting you and I to move closer to Him. He's wanting us to be separate from the world. Come out and be separate from among the world and the things of the world. He wants us not to touch the unclean thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us that the word means not to attach yourself to it. Because we're attached to the vine. We're the branch and we've been bought, blood bought, and we're attached to the vine. And so here, He's wanting you and I to go forward step by step, little by little. And as He does that, He's going to fill us up. We're going to empty out of self. We're going to empty out of the plan and the work and the hindrance of the devil. And we're going to fill up with the plan and the will of God. He said, by little by little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Occupy.
Yes.
Occupy what? The promises. You see, God's got so many promises in this Bible, but I haven't occupied them yet.
Right.
That doesn't make God a liar. That means I just haven't come to that place yet. But as long as I keep following my Master's voice, as He calls me by name, as He calls you by name, He's leading us beside the still waters, causing us to lie down in the green pastures, and He's making us be in a place, a position where we fill up with Him and His promises. We occupy them one at a time. And those promises separate you from the things of the flesh, from the pull of the world. They give you and I victory. Amen? Don't you want victory this morning? I want victory. Look here in the book of Psalms. I want to read this verse to you. Psalms 18, verse 36. The Word of God says, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. See, little by little, God's calling us to walk with Him. And as we walk with Him, you and I, the devil wants to do anything he can to trip you up and to trip me up. But we've got a promise here. When you come into temptation, when you're struggling with something in your mind or in your body, then you've got a promise here. God, help me. I've seen where you enlarge David's steps, the psalmist's steps. I need my steps enlarged. That means to give you a firm footing. Well, a firm footing comes from having a firm foundation, amen? And your foundation, go over to Psalms 119. It's the Word of God. Psalms 119, down about verse 133. David says here, Psalms 119, 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. This word here, order my steps, it means to bring me into correction. How many is willing to be corrected in the Lord? Not by man, but by God, by Jesus. Amen? So, we'll let Him order our steps. We'll let Him cleanse our steps. We'll let Him enlarge us, make us stronger, have a foundation by Him. He said, order my steps in thy word. And if we do that, He said, iniquity wouldn't have dominion over you. Wouldn't have dominion over me. Wouldn't have dominion over the Christian. You say, well, this ain't for me today. Well, it will be for somebody next week that you're going to run into, because there's Christians all around that the devil is doing anything and everything he can to trip them up and to bring them back down into sin, trespass, and iniquity. Amen? And so we need something to tell them. We need to give them the answer, and the answer is the Word of God. Jesus said the Word cleanses us. The Word causes us to bear fruit. And He said that's what it meant to occupy the land and to inherit the promises. It meant to bear fruit. In other words, the Word of God is producing what Jesus said it would in your life, in my life. He said, order my steps in thy word, and not let iniquity have dominion. Don't let it govern me. Come on, Jesus is your Lord now. The Bible says, whoever I yield myself to serve, in the book of Romans, chapter 6, it says, then that's my Lord. And we're talking seriousness now. That means if I give place to the enemy, Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Spot, location, opportunity. If I give him the opportunity, guess what? He's going to take me down into sin. Because he wants to keep me there until it becomes iniquity. He wants dominion over me. He wants dominion over you. But you and I have got to be in the place, the position, where we don't let that happen. Amen?
Amen.
Job chapter 31. I wrote these down because I did not want to. Job 31, look here what he says. Verse number 4. Job 31, 4. Doeth not he, and he's talking about God, does not God see my ways and count my steps? And that's what we got to believe. We've got to believe that God sees all of our ways and He counts all of our steps. This word count the steps, it means to score. In other words, Hebrew tradition tells us that you've got two angels that are with you at all times. That I've got two angels. One of them is writing down in the book of all the good. The other is writing down in the book of all the not so good. That's tradition. But it's something to think about. We know that God has a tally. He has a record system. However He has it, that's up to Him. But here Job said, I know that God knows everything about each one of my steps. Now this is important. Because look what he said before that in verse 1. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Strange punishment, an unexpected end. See, there have been a lot of people, the devil dangled the bait in front of them, and the next thing they know, they wake up and they're out of this body. Come on. This is a serious thing. The devil wants to get you, wants to get me in sin, and he wants to take our life. Job said, I'm not going to think on the maid. I'm not going to lust on the maid. I'm not going to lust on the... But you put it into what you're dealing with this morning. I'm not going to lust for the things of this life. In other words, I'm not going to let anything come between me and my God. Me and my Lord. Me and my Savior. There's nothing worth it. Not my husband, not my wife, not my children, not my job, not my bank account. There's nothing. Not one thing that I'm going to put between me and my God, because my God was willing to send His Son to die for me. And only by me being in the place of obedience and walking in that obedience do I have the assurance. Remember, Jesus said, it's not because you said, Lord, Lord, but it's those who do the will of my Father. God's got a will, and it's little by little. It's moment by moment. It's step by step, filling you up, filling me up, or not. If not, we're sliding back. We're drawing back. You see, it's about here. Jesus said, when we're talking about this, about the maid, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, He said that if you just look on a woman, you've committed adultery already in your heart if you've done it with lust. So that means if I look on situations too, if we're broadening this out and placed it between me and God. Now, God's wanting to prune us. Jesus said, my word would cleanse, and I purge. And that word in the Greek, it means to cleanse by pruning. God wants to cut some things off out of our life that will help us draw closer to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's read Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 25, Proverbs 6:25. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Think about that. Lust not after her beauty. The world is an alluring thing. Come on, it is. I know he's talking about a woman here, but the reality, a lot of times we look at the world as a thing of beauty and a thing that has possessions. And it wants to possess you. But see, you're bought with a price. Amen? Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now let's think about that. We talked about those who draw back. God said, I'd have no pleasure in those who draw back. And that's what this is talking about. Now what did He just say? He said, the backslider in heart. In other words, it may be something that nobody else knows about. It's not an action on the outside. It's in the heart. In the heart. Come on, that's where Jesus, the Holy Spirit, abides in your spirit and then causes your very soul to be renewed by the Word of God. Causes my soul to be renewed. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In other words, that's all you're going to have. Remember what Paul said, if all I've got is hope in this world, even in Christ, if I just had hope in this world, he said I'd be most miserable. But the good side, he said, a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Satisfied. Filled up. So little by little, step by step, you and I, we can be filled up with the things of God. Now, how do I get full of the things of God? I just obey the simplest thing. So many times people come to me and they'll tell me, they'll say, I can't hear God. And so until I finally got to where I could hear what God was telling me to tell them, I never knew what to tell them. But it's the simplest answer. If you can't hear God, go back to where you left Him. Go back to the last thing He told you. And whatever He told you, repent for not doing that. And then obey Him, and guess what? Then you'll hear from God. He's not going to tell us anymore because Jesus said, when I give it to you, then I require much. Where much is given, much is required. In other words, obedience is required. And so we need to go back to where God last talked to us. Repent, yield, whatever it might be, and then move forward and it'll come to pass. I know I'm keeping you, but this is a serious situation. I mean, God dealt hard with me this morning about this. And I want us to make sure that we understand it. He said, the backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own way, and a good man shall be satisfied from within. Let's go to Jeremiah 17:10. Let's see how you get filled. Now, this is all about God Himself. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. God's the one that's going to fill us. God looks at your heart. This means you may not be perfect. I may not be perfect. But with our heart, with everything about us, we're wanting to do what God wants us to do. God sees that. He reads your heart. And He can help you. He can help me in all those other things. And He can satisfy us where the thing that the devil's tempting you with, tempting me with, trying to pull us away from God by a lie. God can give us the truth. Amen? Now, what happens when somebody starts getting sick in the natural? You know, what happens? They lose their appetite. You know, and before long, they don't desire the same food that they used to like. Now, see, this everything in the natural is a prototype for us to understand the spiritual. You and I, if we pull away from God, then in a little bit, we are not wanting to hear what God has to say. We lose our appetite for the things of God. Because we know that God's going to tell us something that we don't want to hear in the flesh. But the only way you'll ever be completely satisfied, the only way I'll ever be completely satisfied is when we yield to the Lord. And we let God feed us. See, nobody else can feed you because only God knows your heart. But He can... You see in my life, The sins that I couldn't get over, that I kept stumbling around in, it was because I was trying to let that sin feed that empty spot. But when I finally got along with God and God showed me what I really needed in that spot, that sin lost its power. It couldn't control me anymore. It couldn't dominate me anymore because it didn't mean anything because Jesus had the true answer. So this morning, I encourage you, every one of us, to find a quiet spot. Let God talk to you. He wants to encourage you. But He also wants to give you a word that will fill that empty spot. And when the tempter comes around, all of a sudden, the bait don't look good, it don't smell good, it don't taste good. Because you've ate from the table of the Lord. Now Jesus made a promise to His sheep. Remember, Psalms 23, He said He would prepare a table for you, for me, in the midst of our enemies. That means we can eat from the table from the Lord, even when the enemy's there trying to give us something that's not real. Something that will hurt and hinder. Something that will bring and work death and destruction. Amen?
Amen.
We're not going to draw back. No. We're going to be those who are pleasing to the Lord because we listen moment by moment, little by little. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. One verse, I'll let you go. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel. Chapter 20. I want you to look at the last part of verse 3. Look what the last part's for sake of time. This is out of the mouth of David. He says this. He says, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Now mark that down in your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, the last part of the verse. "As thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Now think about it. If God tells you to move forward and you don't move forward, then you've lost that step. This is serious. David's following the leadership of the Lord and he's being tempted, he's being tried, the enemy's trying every way in the world to kill him. But he can't do it because he's in step with Jesus. But if he had stopped, now come on, if there's just one step between me and death, you see why it's so hard the devil is working on you, trying to get me not to go forward in the Lord, not to obey? Because then we're on the devil's territory and we're not in that place where the hedge is around us. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness. We thank You for Your Word. I ask You that every person in this place this morning, that they be encouraged by Your Spirit, that they hear intimately and clearly and perfectly from You. Lord, in my life, I know there's areas that I need to step up. I need to step forward. There's areas that I need to hear with my spirit and cause my soul to be renewed and my body to be brought into subjection. Lord, but I say I'll listen. And I believe that this group of people, that they love You and that they will listen if You'll speak to them, if You'll help them. Help them step above the temptation and the trial and the torment and step into the place where there's peace. There's a place where there's cheerful endurance. You said that You'd be faithful to come. I want You to come in their situation right now. I ask You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come this morning? Would you come and make yourself an altar and say, "Here I am. I want to respond to my God. I want Him to have complete dominion in every area of my life. I want to put that temptation at the foot of the cross and let the blood of Jesus wash it out of my life. I want this trial that seems to be wearing me down, I want it to be put out of my life as I receive divine grace and favor from God." Would you come this morning? Would you just seek the Lord in your own way? Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Praise You, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for who You are to us, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You.
I bring this to You. Heal, serve, all scars leave. This I promise You. It is true. He's forever our Allah. He's forever now and always, He's our friend. He's our rock we stand on. He's our strength, foundation. From sun to sun, He's our joy. He's our brave, still Savior. He's our loving Father. Before and after us, He's our Lord. So to know Him is to love Him. Yes, to know Him is to love Him. He's our Lord. Thank you.
sins that put out a shadow of death follows us, you know.
But
it also tells us that in Psalm 91 that there's a shadow of the Most High. If the obedience takes us away from that shadow of death, it brings us under the shadow, the wings of the Most High. And it says that in His wings is a place of protection. Remember what Jesus said? He looked over Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to pull you into myself as a hen does its chicks." There's a place there. There's a place where it says that no plague can come out of our dwelling. There may be 1,000, maybe 10,000, but it's not going to come out of you, not me, because we're under the shadow. But we've got to make sure that we're walking. Yesterday's faith will not please God today. Yesterday's obedience will not satisfy a God who wants you and I to be all we can be. And we can't live in yesterday and be all we can be today. Amen? Hallelujah. The future is bright. The world may be getting darker, but the light of the Lord is going to shine brighter and brighter through you. Amen? Through the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Any other needs before we change the word of the service? Anybody need prayer for anything? Anybody have a testimony? Brother Ford.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of prayer. You know, I remember there was a minister one time that told a story that in the middle of the worship service, God laid on his heart to dance before the Lord. And he said, "No, I'm not going to do that. No, that's not God. There's no way that's God. I'm not going to do that." And it came time for him to take the pulpit, and God said, "You can't move on until you do what I told you to do originally."
Oh,
yeah. So he's like, obedience is definitely better than sacrifice. Because before, if I'd done it, it would have been obedience. God's Spirit would have moved. Then I still had to do it. But it was a sacrifice. It was. And before you can move on, before you can give the sermon, you had to do what God told him to do originally. And I know there's so many times I've ran into that in my life. There's things that, like, "God, why isn't this working?" And he's like, "Well, you missed it." And it hurts, but it's a good hurt. It's one of those that we can grow from.
Amen.
And, you know, we all heard the term, the physical, no pain, no gain. And that's pretty much what this is. If we can't learn from those experiences, we can't gain. So that's what we choose to do. We learn from those experiences.
Amen.
And praise God, He is quick to teach.
Yes.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Announcement. Don't forget to come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Come prepared to be blessed and prepared to worship the Lord. Other than that, are there any other announcements? No? Okay, then I guess we'll stand. And Brother Larry, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Yes, Father, come tonight. I just want to close this service, Lord, and open our hearts to this word, Lord, that you have for us, Lord, that we can see and be guided by it, Lord, and dressed in this way, Lord, and to give you honor and glory for it, and to trust and pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.